of 1 Corinthians 1:5, that in every way you were, and I added in are, because were is so past tense, you know? It's not in every way you were enriched in Him, that we are enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, enriched in God, in everything we say and do, and everything we see and hear, and through all these people that we interact with. Even, can you be enriched, this is coming, you know, this is me opening my mouth, by people that don't believe in God? And I would go out here and say, yes, because those are opportunities for us to enrich them and to pour into them. See, God uses all sorts of interesting ways and means to enrich our lives and to help us enrich others. And service is definitely one of those ways. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning is service to God, service to others, and see how enriching that is going to be for us. Last week, though, we talked about how about enriching each other. We talked about why we gather here in this with this group of people, you know, in this building. And we had some really good answers that came on there. It says, well, we like each other, first of all. And that was one of the answers, you know. But we encourage each other. We draw on each other. We care about each other. And we pour into each other. And that was the other thing that we talked about too, was getting that mindset of pouring into someone, not just doing everything so that I'm filled, not just always keeping the focus on me, what I need, what I want out of worship, out of doing service for the kingdom, but how I can pour into someone else. And having that mindset of external gratification, of pouring into people, and that's what we're going to kind of go deeper on that concept this morning, because that's what we're going to talk about here. And my motivation this week actually was because I had a funeral to do this week, and as I was doing this, I'm like, this is just feeding right off of what I've been talking for the last, well, since January. And I was like, I can't let this go. So the folks that were at the funeral, there is going to be more, just so you know. It's not just the funeral all over again. But the funeral. Evan, you got me plugged in? You sure? Can you flip it for me, please? Can you flip it for me, please? Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And the reason this I drew on this was because as I was preparing for the funeral, I got to talk to the family a little bit. And this is the stuff I heard about this family member. It says he just liked everyone. He loved everyone. That kept coming up over and over again. He loved everyone. He liked everyone. So he was like that right to the end, too. And they said he had fought a long, hard battle. And this scripture just popped into my head. You know, 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8 says, for I am already, this is Paul speaking, by the way. This is getting towards the end of his life, too. But he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. I'm already being poured out. Another way of saying that is, I have given my all. And in fact, I'm still giving my all. Not holding anything back. No holding back, no holding back. We sang that this morning. Everything I have, I am giving over. I'm being poured out. I'm not reserving anything. You know, as I read through Scripture and read about Paul and read Paul's letters, you know, one thing that doesn't come to mind about him is reservation. He doesn't seem like a very reserved kind of guy, you know? He doesn't hold anything back in service and in telling the scripture and spreading the gospel and telling people what they did wrong. He doesn't hold that back either. He's a very, very adamant man. Very zealous as well. Not holding anything back. Remember, you know, before he had this miraculous encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus, you know, this really miraculous conversion experience, you know, the stuff that he was doing beforehand where he was persecuting all the Christians, all the Jewish Christians, you know, he was very zealous in this too. And he wasn't doing it for himself. He had God in mind. Let's not forget that. I mean, that wasn't what God was wanting anymore. You know, that he wanted this Jesus thing going on. He wanted him to accept this, but the Jews hadn't seen that yet. But he, in his heart, he was zealous for God. And maybe that's why Jesus says, I'm going to take this one myself, Dad. You know, that Damascus Road encounter. And he's like, look at the fire this guy has. Think about what he could be doing for us. I'm going to go get him. That's kind of what I picture on that, you know? Because then look what he did. He turned him loose on the rest of the world and he flipped it on its ear. He didn't hold anything back. He's being poured out as an offering. His life was not his anymore. It was all God. I'm turning it all over to you. The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Through everything that's gone on in my life, I've kept the faith. Well, as I was thinking about this, he says something else about these things too. And it's in Romans. Romans 12. Because now he's talking to us. Because at first he's saying, this is how I've lived my life. I've poured myself out. Now he's telling us. He's telling everyone else. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. So I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that is, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. But offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Elsewhere we also read where he says, you know, that our service and that our faith and that our works to God may be a pleasing aroma to the Lord. That sacrifice, that idea of sacrifice. But to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, can you serve others and your heart not be in it? I'd say, yeah, you can do that. First thing that comes to mind is court-ordered community service. You know, I really don't want to be here, but I'm going to get her done. It's about me, though, right? About fulfilling my job. Or, you know, there's other ways. That's not the only one. You know, mom and dad said I'm going to do it. How about that's kind of court-ordered, I guess, in a way. But, you know, there's these ideas where we can do stuff, but our heart's not in it. And that doesn't mean we're doing them for the wrong reasons. But if your heart is in it, and you're pouring yourself into it, what does that become, especially if you're doing it for God? What does that become? Worship. That becomes worship at that point. And there's this connection between God and service, and God through us, that service through us, that glorifies Him, and it becomes more than, there's more to worship than just standing in here on a Sunday morning, singing songs, praying prayers, and hearing me talk. Worship is a reaction, a direct reaction to what God is doing in your life. And if He's opening up a door for us to do something for somebody or some people or some place, and we walk through it, we're glorifying Him and we're worshiping Him. And being enriched. And enriching. You see how this whole thing works together. Offering yourself up as a living sacrifice. So if your heart's not in it, it's just your body that's doing stuff. My hands, my feet. I'm just a tool at that point. Open the drawer, take me out, and use me for right now. But if it's you, if it's that your whole body, he's talking about the whole package, you. Heart, mind, soul. There's something different about that. Something different about that than just being used as an appliance. He wants the whole you, the whole package, nothing held back. I've been listening to some podcasts lately, and there was this pastor that was talking about taking his family on a mission trip for their vacation. Yeah, that sounds great. But he's like, you know, that's not something that most people would do. You know, go, you know, I only got so much time off this year and stuff. Let's pack up. And he went to Africa. You know, drug his family to Africa and stuff. And there's something about, and you don't have to go clear to Africa, by the way. There's something about that, though. He says, because now, he says, it's not just a matter of how busy and how tired and how burdensome all the work is, because it is. He says, but then there's these connections that you're making. You're making connections with other people that you're working with. You're making connections with these people that you're helping. He says, and next thing you know, you're just loving all over them, and you're caring, and now it's like your family just got extended exponentially. And you leave with them still in you, you know, as part of the new me, the expanded me, the enriched me. Through that service, that opening up, because sometimes when we knock down our walls to go help people out, well, now they can get in. It's not just that we can get out, it's that they can get in now. That's why God wants the whole you to be that living sacrifice. And what kind of things is He asking us to sacrifice? Well, it depends on who you are. I had a discussion in class this week, and we were talking about a transformational experience through Jesus. And one of the things that came to mind was, was the rich young ruler. You know, what Jesus was asking of him. It's the guy that says, hey, what do I need to do to get into heaven? And Jesus says, well, you need to do this, this, this. I've already done that. Since I was a kid, I've done that. There's one more thing you need to do. Go sell your stuff and follow me. Because the stuff was the barrier. He wasn't telling him to sell everything. He's not telling everyone to sell everything. Jesus knew where this guy's barrier was. Get rid of the barrier and follow me. That's transformational. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the Spirit. Worship should be transformational. It transforms us into something out of this world, into something else, into Jesus, into God, into His realm, His kingdom. Paul says, present your bodies. He's talking about that whole package. So the things that we're sacrificing, there's nothing more priceless that we can sacrifice than our time. Remember, you can give time, you can give your time to people, you cannot ever make more time. You only have an allotment. And how you choose to spend that allotment is up to you. And once you give little chunks of that away to people and stuff in service or in not service, you can't make more. Because another thing that we're supposed to give and sacrifice is like things, our stuff, our money, our, you know, in Acts, the early Acts church, they were selling their properties, their possessions to help take care of each other. To make sure that nobody did without. Sacrificial. But you know what? If you're going and you're giving your money, yeah, you can go make more money. I can't make more time. That's why it is the most valuable thing that you can give someone. Or give to a purpose, or give to a cause, or give to God. Is your time. You can't make more. And how enriching is that to spend that time knowing that it matters? Think of these guys on that mission trip and how it's affecting the people that they're helping, and then turning right around and affecting them in such a meaningful and moving way. So I came here to help them. I did not expect to have this happen to me. See, God's economics is like crazy. crazy awesome. Because that time that you can never get back still pays dividends. In such way different ways. As we're working and thinking through this whole enriching and being this living sacrifice and living in our community and how we can enrich others and how we can pour into others in our community and beyond. As you know, we're told there's three little cities that we need to, or three places that we're supposed to go. We're supposed to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and the rest of the world, right? Mendon's our little Jerusalem. Start there, but he says, go further than that. You got all sorts of rings to go through. But we're supposed to sacrifice our time, our possessions, and it can be money. It can be other items too, tools, cars, property, as I spoke about with the early Acts church, or even the day people are still doing stuff like this because they care so much. Kingdom Harvest Ministry was given the use of a building in Salina for their early or their Bible release study time. A guy bought this building over in Salina for the sole purpose that he wanted it to be used for ministry someday for something. And now they step in and say, we have a need. He goes, go and use it. There it is. People are still doing stuff like that. Just because God has laid this on their heart. And they didn't hold back. They're like, you got it, God. How do you think that guy feels knowing that kids are going in there to learn about the Bible now during school or, you know. Dividends. God's dividends aren't financial. Well, they can be, but not always, and rarely are. We sacrifice ourselves as well. We give ourselves over to God's service, to His love and care. And what leads people to make these kinds of sacrifices? Look at here. Just right up here at the beginning. He says, by the mercies of God. Trust in God. Think about the mercy that God has on us already that we preach and talk about all the time. What did He sacrifice? The main primary reason that we're here is because of a huge sacrifice that He made of His Son on that cross. He already made the most ultimate sacrifice that there is. And that's because of His mercies, by His mercies. You think He would ask much less of us to sacrifice stuff and then trust in Him? He's like saying, take a leap of faith and trust me in this. See what happens. You know, we read through Scripture and there's more than one time. And one that comes to mind is when Jesus is being tempted in the desert, you know, right before He starts His ministry. And one of His answers to Satan was, you know, don't put the Lord your God to the test. You know, that was one of His answers. He says, well, you know, if you go and do this, don't test God. We read that a few times in Scripture. You know, there is one Scripture in there that specifically says, test me. Test God. Who knows what it is? Which verse? You know where it's at? Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. Oops, I think I went too far. Didn't go far enough. There it is. I'm going to give you guys a headache. Malachi 3:10, or as one of my professors says, Malachi. He was apparently the Italian prophet. I don't know. But Malachi 3:10 says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. If you're going to test God in anything, test Him in this. Test Him in sacrificing stuff to Him. Your time, your talents, your possessions, yourself to Him. This isn't just about money. This is about everything that you offer Him. He says, test me in this. Take that leap of faith and see what I do with it. See the return that I give you. It's not saying you're going to be rich and famous someday. That's not what He's saying. But see what I will do. until there's no more need. You notice he doesn't say how much. I mean, he says the full tithe. You guys know how much the Jewish tithe was? By the way, I mean tithe is 10%, right? Okay, you got the 10%. And you know what? There was another tithe that happened like, what, every 3 years or something like that. So there was another 10%. And then there was another 10% tithe on top of that for something else. And then there was all these times where they had to leave their crops vacant. And then there was all these times they had to leave the edges of their fields so that the poor could... In other words, it wasn't just 10%. God says, give and give and give and give. And see what I do with it. Time and talents are worth so much more than money. And if you can give that to God and to His service, think of how enriching that is to others that are getting that love and care that's coming from you that has its source in God. And then how enriching it is coming back when you see it, see the fruit. See the storehouses full and see the blessings coming. When you see a kid go, "Oh, I get it." Or when you hear about a kid that corrects their teacher because the teacher was mistaken on this, and I'm talking scripturally speaking, I'm not talking in a hoity-toity kind of way. "Oh yeah, you're right. Because you poured into them." When you see those dividends, when you see those returns coming back and go, "This is a God thing. This is how God moves in our lives. And it's because I took that step of faith. It's because I cared about God and His mission and how He's going to move in people's lives." But it takes trust to just take that first step. To take that first step towards this mission. He also mentions being holy and acceptable. And being holy means set apart. You know, not going with the flow. We're to be different. And the world should see us as different. When we serve others, the motives are different. Those guys, what's all about them? That's the kind of thing we want the world to see about us. What is with them? Why are they weird? We are weird. We're supposed to be weird. I got it nailed. Just so you know. We're called to be different. The world should see us that way. So when we serve others, there's something different than merely serving and helping. It's that worship. And if we get into... Oh, I don't know why it's double-clicking on me. And as we're serving, let your love be genuine. Romans 12, beginning back at 9. Let your love be genuine. Another way I saw this was, don't let your love be hypocritical. Let it be genuine. Let it be for the right reasons. He says, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what's good. He says, but love one another with brotherly affections, outdoing one another in honor, in showing honor. This is something that I remind couples of when I marry them, is that part right there. Outdo one another in showing honor. Others come first. And in a marriage, the other comes before you. And we're in this marriage of this family, marriage with Christ. When serving, serve in love and in care. And let that love and care be the real deal. No ulterior motives. No hidden agendas. No ideas about what I'm going to get out of it. No, let it be real, authentic. Caregiving. Full of care. And let that love be sacrificial. That living sacrifice of self. This is all God stuff, folks. This is the God stuff of giving yourself and not holding back. He held back nothing. He gave us everything. He gave us His Son. He held nothing back. And that part about outdoing one another, like I said, I mentioned that to couples when we're marrying them, when I'm marrying them, it says, put the other's needs before your own. I remind them that. It says, if you truly love one another, you will desire to honor each other. We see also in Scripture the highest example of such honor. It is the example of Christ in washing the disciples' feet. He paid them the honor of service, the lowliest job that anyone could do in their society. And the one whose voice, the Word, spoke things into creation is washing these guys' feet. No job is too low for me to go. Matter of fact, I'll go clear to the grave for you. That's how low I'll go. For each, the other comes first. Try to outdo one another in love and honor. The world is full of the opposite. So bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with others, with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. You know, see all these contrasts. The world is on one side, and God's saying, be on the other side. Never be wise in your own sight. Don't think you know more than you do. He's saying, get rid of this holier-than-thou stuff. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Right after this is the verse about, you know, loving your enemies, praying for your enemies. That's in here. It says, but in doing so, you're going to heap burning coals on their head. Killing them with kindness is what Christina calls this. They got nothing on you because you're sacrificing all. Everything is fictional that they can come back at you with. Because you gave your all, and it's real, it's authentic. It's God stuff. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Do good stuff for them. That is not world stuff. These are not the ways of the world. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. You know what? The world's ways are not His ways either. The world's ways are not His ways. In fact, in many cases, they're polar opposites, just like what we see here. So there's a reason we're called to be enriched and to enrich others through our service to God and to others. There's a reason we're not to follow the ways of the world. Though we are in this world, we're travelers on it and in it and through it, we're citizens of a different kingdom. We're citizens of a different place. When Jesus was being questioned by Pilate, he says, are you the king of the Jews? And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. That's the kingdom that we belong to, that we are citizens of. And a huge high price was paid for us to have that citizenship. It's not like when the guys found out that Paul was a Roman, you know, he was a Roman by birth, and these guys, we paid a lot of money to become Romans. He goes, I was a Roman by birth. We weren't Christians by birth. Those guys had to pay a huge amount to become Romans. God paid a huge amount for us to be, I'm not even going to say Christians, His. Held nothing back. And that's the kingdom that we are looking forward to. You know, we're part of that grander kingdom with a king that's longing for us, eagerly waiting for us, preparing a place for us. And he's already being poured out as a drink offering. Hold nothing back in representing that kingdom. It's King and it's Lord and Savior. Our Lord and Savior. He says, henceforth, because of all of this stuff, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That crown, that word, crown right there, that they use, there's a lot of words, I guess, for this, but they use the word Stephanos. Crown of victory is what it is here. This crown of righteousness is the crown of victory. Victory of over what? Death, over eternal death. And it says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. He says, I've got this coming to me. But that's not his motivation. Because when I think of getting crowns in heaven, I think about Revelations where they're saying, where it's got the kings on their knees and casting their crowns before God because they know that they don't deserve them. And he says, but I've got all this stuff and God is going to reward me on that day with this crown of victory because I ran the race, I fought the fight, I kept the faith. And he says, I'm not the only one. He says, not only me, but also those who have loved his appearing. The question is, have you loved his appearing? And all the ways that he appears in our lives. Because if you have, then this whole thing is wrapped up inside of that. Pour yourself out to him. Hold nothing back. Look forward to that time. And will I stand in your presence or to my knees will I fall? You know that song we sang there? The whole thing is all wrapped up inside this. It's not about what's in it for me. But it's about finishing the race and keeping the faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the ways that you enrich our lives through using us, through the ways that you use our time, our talents, and just us, our whole being, to your glory and to your use and your kingdom. How we can follow you. We thank you so much for your Spirit that you put in us to lead us and guide us on this very path of breaking down our own barriers so that we can get through others' barriers to bring you to them, to let you do the work in their lives. And thank you for the way that you give. You give back and many, many, many unexpected ways and so glorious and so wonderful, and that keeps us wanting to keep giving, to keep pouring ourselves out for you. Not because of what it will gain us, not because of the blessings that we're hoping that you'll give us or the acceptance that we want from you, but because of what you've already done for us. As our way of showing you how much we love you and thank you for that grace that you've already shown us. That grace of making a way for us to have a relationship with you. That grace of accepting us into your family and preparing us for your service. And Father, we thank you for all the enriching that you do in us, through others. We thank you for all the work that people have put into us. And help us keep that going by pouring into others and into other places, into situations as we can, that we live that sacrificial life, that sacrificial life full of love and care and service for your glory. And Father, we just ask your help in this. We ask your guidance and your leadership in all of this. And we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son. And we thank you for that Spirit. Father, we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.